City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to City Current. It's Wednesday, February 27th. I'm Mary Van Sickle with Dakota Media Access. We're here in our studios and Jason Timonic is here. Good morning.
Morning, Mary. How are you?
I'm fine, except for the cold.
It's February.
Can you make it stop, please?
No. Bring it on. It's winter.
So we're here, as always, the morning after a city commission meeting. Mm-hmm. And it was another long meeting last night for the city of Bismarck.
Yep. A little over 3 hours again.
Yeah.
It's okay. We got a lot to cover.
Yeah, we do. A couple of things on your consent agenda that we want to talk about. One was a call for a public hearing, first consideration of a new Eagle Crest 8th addition mm-hmm. up in Eagle Crest.
Yes, another single family subdivision proposed up in that Tyler Cooley area. I think it's about 23 lots, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
Some topographic challenges in there. So the road layout is primarily just a couple of extensions of existing roadways that end in a cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. So there are a couple of lots that would be intended for stormwater purposes as well. There's a fairly large green space kind of near the middle of the proposed subdivision that's to help capture some of the runoff and some of the stormwater that's coming through that area.
You say topographic challenges, but a lot of people would look at that and say topographic opportunities mm-hmm. and nice lots for residential.
Nice viewshed area, definitely, with the Cooley running through there. You see some unique homes in this part of the community mm-hmm. because of the opportunities that the landscape really provides.
Yeah. As evidenced by the rapid growth in that area. So, mm-hmm. and the last time we visited, you were here for City Current, the last one, we talked about Elk Ridge.
Right.
Same developers, same group, similar area, just across Cooley.
Just on the other side of the Cooley, so, right adjacent to the Promontory Point area.
So a very similar mm-hmm. project. So this is moving forward, and at your next commission meeting will be a public hearing
for the plat, the zoning change, and the annexation of the remaining lots that are part of the subdivision.
Okay. All right. So we'll probably talk about it again, especially if we anticipate, again, public comment being as heavy as the last one.
Yeah, I'm sure the neighborhood is interested in this one as well. Mm-hmm. They definitely showed their support as a
and
neighborhood.
Concerns.
They had some
mm-hmm.
concerns about the previous one on the other side
sure.
of the Cooley, so I would expect that we would see some similar feedback and input from the community, from the neighbors.
Absolutely. Also on the consent agenda last night, some appointments were made to your Human Relations Committee.
Right. Yep. We've had some vacancies. Recently, we've had a few people depart prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
Some other things in their lives took them away. But we have two new members, Paul Zondo and Dwayne Rongstad. They were both appointed last night, so thanks to both of them for their volunteer support and for being a part of the Human Relations Committee.
And we talk about this quite a bit, and I also talk to Jim Neubauer, City of Mandan, about this, mm-hmm. that there are many volunteer opportunities within both cities.
Right.
Different committees, task forces, whatever. Mm-hmm. You're always looking for good people that are interested in what's going on in the community, and the Human Relations Committee is just one of them.
Right.
I mean, you have Forestry Board, you have a Weed Board, you have all these different
Planning and Zoning
that,
Commission,
yes.
Renaissance Zone Authority, yeah, and they're primarily, staff is there as a resource to support that effort, but also really the people that are involved are the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to have a voice, if you want to have some input in local government, this is a great way to get
yeah.
started.
And you always put that on in your Facebook page, your website and whatnot. So there's announcements that go yeah. out periodically.
Yeah,
about
and vacancies come and go. You know, as we just mentioned, some people had to depart
sure.
prematurely. So it's not that we're on a calendar cycle. It's not that we just look in January. It's
an ongoing.
It is. It's a constant.
Yeah. Commissioner Nancy Guy gave her regular report last night mm-hmm. about all the portfolios that she holds. The library, she has public works, there's service end of public works, mm-hmm. correct?
Yep, and she's also the liaison for Bisman Transit, with paratransit as well, that's mm-hmm. part of it. So she touched on a number of things. She had a very detailed presentation, and I guess one of the things that I took away from it, there's a lot of stuff going on at the library. We know
yes,
Commissioner Guy really likes the library. We all like the library, but she highlighted some of the activities over the next few months, and it's just tremendous, the things that are going on there.
So. And again, they have a Facebook page. They have a website. They send us all their announcements, so our systems default to their announcements and some other ones from the community as well. So, yeah, there's a lot going on over there. She also talked, I think she was asked a question, I'm not sure who asked the question, about transit and where we're at with the whole UMary United Tribes route out to the schools and back.
Yep, with BSC, United Tribes, University of Mary, trying to get some student riders on there. And I think they're looking at a pilot program to try and incentivize getting the kids on the buses and trying to figure out, if you're not riding the bus, why aren't you? If you are riding the bus, what could we do better? How could we do it differently?
Yeah, she mentioned, I think, a focus groups that have been put together with different student riders, and they'll, I believe she said late March, they hope to have a study or a recommendation made.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So we'll come back to you guys at the commission meeting, I would assume.
Yeah, it'll go to the, of course, transit has their own board, the transit board that operates the day-to-day activities. And then the city of Bismarck oversees some of that as a partnership. And that's part of the federal funding system and you know, utilizing the Metropolitan Planning Organization and some of those resources for those grants and things. So it's not the city's bus system, it's transit system, but the city is certainly part of the
overall
oversight.
Yeah, absolutely. A really thorough report by Jeff Hines, Director of Public Works.
He likes his snow reports. Yeah, he's good at it.
Well, and it's very timely. I'm sure they're getting lots of calls. We've had a lot of snow and certainly a lot of very deep down temperatures have resulted in a lot of road ice, and I'm sure the police department is busy with all sorts of crashes and accidents that have been happening. But Jeff talks about maintaining the roads, and his report was pretty thorough last night.
He touched on everything from center lane miles to how long it takes to plow, the cost of plowing, the number of lane miles that we've added over the years, and how staff numbers haven't really kept up and equipment numbers haven't really kept up with some of that. So it does take the crews longer than it used to because there are more streets to plow, obviously. One of the other things that Jeff mentioned was something that we all benefit from here is snow gates. Snow gates, obviously, they have an intended purpose to try and carry some of that snow through driveways, but they add time to the overall operations.
I think he made that pretty clear last night.
Yeah, he mentioned it a few times. So he also mentioned that other communities have contacted him with questions about snow gates as well. I think Fargo and Sioux Falls and have looked at those as well. You know, Jeff mentioned that in those cities, they're using a truck-mounted plow to plow the streets, which is much quicker for those operations. But it does leave that fairly good-sized ridge in front of driveways and things like that. So we learned a lot from Jeff. You know, some of these things we hear year to year. We certainly can't forget about them. But at the same time, every winter is a little bit different.
I think the most important thing to take away from Jeff's report is that there is a plan.
Absolutely.
It isn't just some haphazard, let's get out and you take that road and so-and-so goes over there. There is a plan in place.
It's a very coordinated effort.
And they look at the plan periodically, you know, to update. As he said, it's an evolving plan. It has a life. It changes as the city changes as well. So we have a map that we can bring up, too, that shows where those streets are and how they prioritize them. I don't know if it's coming through real well on our screens here, but again, there's a plan, and it is on your website.
Yep,
it
absolutely.
It is on the City of Bismarck's website. You can find it there. You can go in there and ask questions of the department if you need to. But basically, we've got, you know, the first priority is always going to be those snow emergency routes, the main
major traffic carriers, absolutely. Expressway, State Street, Divide, Washington Street. We all drive these streets. We all see these streets. Jeff even mentioned if you've got to be out during, you know, snow clearing activities, if you can get to these roadways, you're going to have the easiest time of travel because those are the areas that are first. Second on the list, depending on the day, are school routes. You know, obviously, we've got to worry about getting parents and buses and students to school, and that becomes the second priority.
That would be the blue streets that they're seeing on the map right now.
Yep. And then the third level would be those major arterial roadways. So the other, you know, high traffic corridors that aren't the Washington streets, the State streets, and things like that. Yep. Then, of course, The last item on the list is, as Jeff referenced them on the map, they are the streets that are colored black. Those are the residential streets.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Again, a plan is in place. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting, too. He talked a lot about the ice. We've had a lot of ice on the road this year. And the process, the sand that they use and what happens to that, and some of the new products that they've been looking at as well to allow that ice to melt down at a lower temperature. Mm-hmm. I think he said last night it was 13 below, this new product that they've been using can actually start melting on the roads.
It would help. But as Commissioner Oban noted, clearing the streets to, you know, a condition that we all see in the summertime is nearly impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, the crews are doing the best work that they can, but sometimes Mother Nature gets to win. You know, she gets to control the temperature and the precipitation, and you know we're doing everything we can. But as we say often during this time of the year, slow down.
Yeah,
you know, streets are slippery.
Well, like I say, I'm sure the police department is having having their fill of accidents and just trying to keep up with what's going on with weather.
Probably a busy season for the body shops as well, and some of those other folks that.
And have
work resulting from all the snow.
Exactly. And again, we're recording this program on the 27th of February. Mm-hmm. We got another month to go this area for snow, potential for snow at least another month. So be patient and understand that the Public Works Department is doing the best they can. His numbers were impressive. Yeah. Like you said, I mean, we have so much more growth in the last few years. We've only hired one additional operator with how many miles?
Was it 60 new in the last 10 years? There's more than 60 center lane miles of street. And so when Jeff explains center lane, that's just measuring down the middle of the street. That doesn't really include that most streets take at least four passes. So by the time you do a mile, you've actually done over 4 miles of actual street.
And the comparisons, the numbers that compared to Fargo and some of our other cities, we're doing pretty well as far as costs.
Yep, definitely.
And efficiency. So kudos to them.
Yep, high
Keep
fives.
It up. Be nice.
Yeah.
And give the plow.
Slow down, give them some room.
And give the plow some room.
Yep, absolutely. If you see a plow, let it do its job. You'll get there.
Yeah.
Just might be a little bit later than you had intended.
Absolutely. Keith Hunke, city administrator, gave a legislative report again last night. We've hit crossover actually here on Wednesday when we're recording. Legislature
halfway
is
point.
Back in session today, but Keith gave a report on where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple of bills that we're definitely keeping an eye on. We've mentioned it here before, House Bill 1066 being the Prairie Dog Bill. That is the bill that was announced earlier, well, I should say during the late summer of 2018. That's a plan to take money from buckets, as they've described it, and it's the money would be distributed to communities that are experiencing high volumes or high rates of growth. And the distribution would be based on that growth formula. How many people have you added? How many square miles or square feet have you annexed over the years? And that money from the state would be intended to be utilized by the local municipalities for infrastructure projects, whether it be roads and streets, water and sewer. Some of that is still getting defined in what is infrastructure. But definitely something that we as the capital city would benefit from if this moves forward in its current format.
A lot of communities watching this bill very closely.
Definitely. This would have impacts statewide from border to border, east to west, and north to south.
And I believe that both Bismarck and Mandan have some projects in the queue.
I'm sure we
That could be, this money could be used for that would speed things up.
You're right.
Yeah, so really, really important. The money that's potential here, the fund would be coming out of the legacy fund, as I understand.
It's my understanding as well, yes.
All right. Also, another bill that you're watching is the Bank of North Dakota. There's an infrastructure revolving loan fund that you guys are watching.
Senate Bill 2275. Bank of North Dakota would act as the bank, obviously, and then it would allow municipalities to borrow money at a better rate. To help with some of those infrastructure costs. That ends up getting passed on to the property owners that would see special assessments resulting from some of these projects. If we're able to borrow money at a lower rate, obviously the payback is going to be better for the property owners as well.
Absolutely.
So that's another one that, again, statewide, there's a lot of communities that could benefit from having that infrastructure revolving loan fund, I believe is the term they're using, to really help maybe jumpstart some of the projects that have been on the list or to continue communities like ours that are growing all the time To help us respond to that growth.
This was
in a good way.
Senate bill now moves into the House.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. So there,
right.
We started with a House bill and we ended with a Senate bill and now they've crossed over.
All right. So, well, Keith will be reporting back, I'm sure, on this.
Every 2 weeks, yep. Every time we have a commission meeting, Keith will continue to report all the way through the legislature. Another thing that was mentioned last night, before the legislature started, our elected leaders, our commissioners and our mayor met with many of the Bismarck senators and representatives just to get everybody all on the same page. Mm-hmm. You know, here are the items that we're looking at. Here are the issues that we're concerned with. Keith and some of the commissioners noted last night that dialogue was very helpful, very important to get everybody kind of all thinking in the same way. There's a plan to bring everybody back together again and talk about, okay, second half. Are we still all focused? These are our priority areas. So we'd like to make sure that we continue to communicate with our local reps because that has a direct impact on us as a community.
Get the team in a huddle.
You got it.
Yeah. A big part of the discussion last night, or the meeting, was the liquor license mm-hmm. discussion. And we've talked about this in the past. This has been ongoing for quite some time, that there's a recognition that the liquor license structure in the city of Bismarck is
probably a little antiquated.
Yep. And confusing, and does not seem fair in some respects. So Janelle Combs, new city attorney, we can still call mm-hmm. her the new
She's
city
still new.
Attorney,
yep.
Has taken this on to analyze this and meet with liquor license holders mm-hmm. and start that dialogue.
Right.
So she came forward last night to the commission to ask for some direction on the findings so far.
Right. So what we've done, and with Janelle's help, you know, the three departments that really deal with alcohol licensing is the attorney's office, the administration department, which I'm part of, and then, of course, the police department gets to do the enforcement. Collectively, we've recognized that there needs to be some changes. So before we do anything, we wanted to make sure we heard from all those parties that are involved. And we've done that. We've met with different groups up to this point. You're right. The question from staff to the commission was, okay, we've shared with you a lot of information that we've gathered. Now, what would you like us to do next? Mm-hmm. And the direction we heard, based on some of the feedback from those that chose to come and share their comments, and we did get written comments from some of the business owners as well, the commission would like us to continue to talk and learn more about how this could change.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly don't want to make things any more difficult on business owners, but at the same time, we recognize that there's some opportunities here for some efficiencies, and what we've learned from other communities like Mandan and Williston, maybe capping some of these licenses isn't really the best role for the city as well. Maybe we let free market determine how business structure works, but then you talk to some of the other operators and they enjoy that knowledge that, you know, there's only 24 licenses for a Class D, which is, you can use a Class D for two things. You can either open a bar or a liquor store, or you could have a bar and a liquor store mm-hmm. combined. Those are the only licenses that we regulate with a maximum number.
As with many issues, it's very complicated.
It is.
This is a very complex issue because the system has been in place for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the complication is evident by the testimony that you received last night. There was it wasn't a public hearing, but there is an opportunity for items on the agenda for people to come and comment mm-hmm. on, and a few people did. And I think that testimony demonstrates just how there are different points of view on this.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different points of view, and both of them valid.
Absolutely.
Really. I mean, you've got individuals who have invested in this license, and it is an asset.
Mm-hmm.
It is a financial asset. So to break it wide open puts the value of that asset, it could diminish.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are those that say, well, but it should be a free market.
Yep.
It should
we'd love
be
to
an
get
open.
In.
I could do this or I could do that. I've had lots of ideas, and there mm-hmm. certainly are probably people out there that have looked at that over the years. And you and I talked about this really kind of boils down to almost an economic development issue. And Janelle, I think the city attorney, Janelle Combs, did mention that there have been inquiries from outside interests that have said, we'd like to do such and such in your community, need a liquor license, mm-hmm. well, they're not available, and then they can go away.
Yeah.
So yeah. there's that. And how do you make both of those work? It is complicated.
Mm-hmm. I think it worth clarification. You mentioned it's an asset. So the reason it's an asset is because we have a limited number of the mm-hmm. Class D and the Class E licenses. So again, those are the bars and liquor stores that have the D's. And the Class E license is bars that only serve beer or any of the convenience stores that have off-sale beer. So that's really what we're talking about with the D's and the E's. And mm-hmm. what makes those licenses an asset, once you buy that license from the city, it's yours. And if you choose to sell that license to another individual or another business owner, that transaction is from person to person. The city's not involved. So we know that there are some high dollar values on these licenses because there is a limited mm-hmm. number of them. And for many business owners, they know the value of that license based on what recent transactions have demonstrated.
So while most of the commissioners, and I think most people that are involved and or at least watching this, agree that change is needed, how do you make that change
right.
without having a negative impact on those that have mm-hmm. invested so far? So it's a very, very complicated.
It's a very delicate process that we're going through. We want to make sure that we hear from everybody. Mm-hmm. We've been very open about, you know, if you have comments, if you have questions, if you have ideas, please share them with us before we finalize any of this. We have many steps to go, and some of those critical steps are going to be to continue to have these conversations yeah. with the operators, because we need to know what's working, what's not. If we do propose some changes, how could that impact them, either positively or negatively? Yeah, so we're not done with this conversation.
No.
I would expect that we could be talking about this for at least another couple of months.
In fact, the direction last night, there was no decisions made. It
right.
was just exploratory discussion. Direction from commission was for city attorney to go back, mm-hmm. continue to do the research, yep. continue to update refine the plan and bring mm-hmm. it back to them for more direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and before right? we do that, we would want to hear the voice of all of those that have shared their ideas mm-hmm. with us so far. Mm-hmm. I certainly don't know what the end result looks like. I've said to many people, we don't want to do anything that would negatively yeah. impact their business, but yet we've got to do something. We have to make some changes here.
It's the liquor license structure in the city of Bismarck is, like, as you use the word, antiquated, mm-hmm. and it is complicated as well as far as just the numbers and the letters yeah. and all the different divisions.
26 different licenses. That in and of itself is a little difficult to manage, but when we have five licenses that are held by five unique businesses in the community, we're creating licenses for a one-off.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that had its place. It worked at the time, but there's a way to consolidate mm-hmm. some of that too. So we're looking at it comprehensively, you know, all sides, and we can continue to talk about this until we have some sort of a resolution here.
It'll come back.
You bet it will.
Gabe Schell was in front of the commission last night talking about a potential downtown street improvement that could be done in 2021 and 2022.
Right.
Is a DOT grant that's available.
Right. Yeah, an urban roads grant, I believe, mm-hmm. is the official name of it. So Gay was notified last week that we are a recipient of that award. So that will be nice. The areas that they're looking at are 5th and 6th Street. We've got a map up. Thanks, guys. 4th and 5th Street would be 2021 along with Broadway Avenue. So those are the lines that are pink colored for anybody watching. And then Thayer Avenue and 6th Street between Main Avenue and Rosser would be scheduled for 2022.
Well, I don't think anybody disputes the fact that it's needed. If you look
right.
at the condition of those roads, they are very, very poor. Mm-hmm. The process, however, will require a local match.
Correct.
And that's what's going to be needed to be fleshed out this year through the budgeting mm-hmm. process for next year. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
And then
it's not a fully funded project, so we'll have to come up with something.
Potential for assessment district could follow in this.
That is,
so there'll be
that
very
is
public
one option.
Process.
Absolutely. And, yeah. and we recognize that when you do street improvement districts downtown, because of the high concentration of businesses that are right on the street frontage, we're going to have to be very mindful about how we work with the business owners and mm-hmm. and all the shops and places of business downtown. Yeah. The Downtowners Association was well aware of this as well, so there will be a role and an opportunity for them to help their members better understand
right.
what the project looks like. We've seen some other communities throughout the state do similar projects in the last few years, and there's some lessons to be learned, either good or bad, you know, do this or don't do that. So it's good that we're aware of this now, because we've got a lot of time to work through some of these details to make sure that we don't have too many negative impacts on the businesses that are downtown.
Absolutely. Well, your Fifth Street patching is probably hopefully going to hang in there for
a
little while.
It looks like a quilt. Yeah. There's a lot of patches on that street.
Because first, again, design and financing, figuring that out, mm-hmm. then it's going to be the actual construction,
right.
which is going to be disruptive. There's no question about that.
Yep.
It will happen, but it's just a temporary pain to go through.
Right. Some of these streets downtown haven't been replaced since the late 50s. So we definitely got
long overdue.
A lifespan out of that concrete, but it's time.
Yeah. Couple of things happening tomorrow. Again, we are recording this on Wednesday the 27th, but I just want to briefly mention two things. One's a public meeting from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock tomorrow night. This is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
It's City Hall.
Right.
For the Machining District.
Machining District. Right. So the meeting will be the first floor conference room. You come in on the front door right off Fifth Street. It's just the first conference room to your left.
Mm-hmm.
The Machining District is an area kind of in the... I guess it'd be southeast of what we would probably consider downtown. So we're looking at an area basically from 7th Street along Main Avenue and a few blocks north and south all the way over to 16th Street or even Airport Road in some cases. So this is an area where a lot of people recognize the Bistro.
Mm-hmm.
Laughing Sun's new location is over here. There's a CrossFit gym as well. And over the last few years, there have been some new redevelopment opportunities, mm-hmm. and this is dovetailing from the city's infill and redevelopment plan. But with some of the new redevelopment, we've seen some struggles. We've seen some challenges in this area because this area wasn't originally developed for retail type purposes. This was an industrial park for all intents
and purposes.
Kind of
a warehousing area for the railroad, absolutely. And we see this in other communities too. That these mm-hmm. these are nice and ripe for development.
There's a lot of opportunity in mm-hmm. this in this part of our community, and
it's kind of the next step. And would you agree that it's kind of a result of the infill redevelopment plan that you started, two years ago?
Certainly mm-hmm. that. And, you know, part of the discussion or part of the open house information tomorrow will be, should the Renaissance Zone extend into this area? Of course, the Renaissance Zone is a state program that provides property tax and state income tax exemptions for qualified investments in properties. The Renaissance Zone is in this area, but doesn't extend much past 12th Street. So one way to help incentivize some of that redevelopment is to encourage the Renaissance Zone to move there.
Yeah.
In order to add this area to the Renaissance Zone, we need to know that there's intent of making some improvements because we have a limited number of blocks that we're allowed to use as the Renaissance Zone. And if we put those blocks in an area, we want to know that they'll be put to good mm-hmm. use.
So this meeting tomorrow night is open to the public, but primarily I would assume you're looking at property owners in that area and people.
Potential owners
and developers who are interested. Mm-hmm. And this is just the start. It's a public input session. It's kind of a brainstorming session.
There will be some material for information. It's really more of an information gathering mm-hmm. session for us. If anybody's interested, please come talk with our planners, talk with our new community development director. We know he'll be there as well. So.
Okay.
Just a really good chance to
start
share ideas
discussion.
And share information,
certainly. Also tomorrow night, 5:30 in the Tom Baker Room, we'll be televising the ITG meeting, mm-hmm. which is run by Commissioner Marquardt, who city gathers together and asks the mm-hmm. park district, the school board, and the county to come forward and...
The four political subdivisions, they get together quarterly.
Yeah, and they come together and talk about joint concerns and issues that they're all related to. One thing I want to mention, though, that I do see on the agenda for tomorrow night is a discussion about the technology in the mm-hmm. Tom Baker Room. And we recognize, we're the operators of a lot of that technology, we recognize that it's been a few years since a lot of that equipment mm-hmm. has been upgraded. So we are due for a conversation, and this is the start of our potential for change in that room itself.
Right, and with the city being the owner of the building, but yet we share the resources with the other political subdivisions, they may have some ideas as well. I know we've had some limitations, we've had some struggles with technology. Mm-hmm. Sometimes things don't work like we wish they would, but we can certainly get past that. But really this is, again, starting the conversation, looking at if there are major improvements. Let's maybe think about that for budget 2020 mm-hmm. when we get into that scenario, because that's not too many months away either. We're going to start talking about budgets again. So having this conversation, I think, is going to be very helpful to get us pointed in the right direction and make sure that we're adding any technological features that would benefit right. anybody participating in the meeting.
Well, absolutely. And I think that it must be mentioned that this is primarily for the transmission of these government meetings right. and to provide the citizens access through our live web streaming or mm-hmm. the cable channels. But the meeting room itself is used by many others.
Yes.
And there, it's just technology in the room in general, mm-hmm. just for meeting technology, not always for transmission
right.
and providing that yeah. coverage.
There's everything from weddings to ballot counting to public meetings. And there's yeah. that room
training.
Gets used. Training, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It gets used a lot by many different groups. So I think we need to stay on the front edge of that
yeah.
and not get too far behind, because when you do have to catch up, then it's an even bigger price tag
yeah,
at that point.
Absolutely. So thank you for a seat at the table, and we'll be
absolutely
looking forward to having that discussion with you. So next time we're together, might be a while. We've got a little bit of a gap probably mm-hmm. in the middle of the month, but otherwise we'll see you after the next commission meeting.
I will be here. We might get to talk about liquor licenses
right.
again.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jason.
You bet. Thanks, Mary.
And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit bismarcknd.gov or call 701-355-1300. If you have suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access, Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.